For the first 17 years of my life, I lived in Brooklyn. From nursery through the 11th grade, blurred prehistoric years, I attended a small yeshiva called Torah Temima, the translation of which, "The Torah is perfect," was our credo. School was single-sexed, with a black-and-white dress code, 30 boys per grade, and a reputation for functioning as an academic travesty. Yiddish-speaking rabbis refused to teach anything vaguely related to evolution. Former hippies, plucked from the street, incapable of landing a job in the regular school system, ranted incoherently about civics. Freshman year math was canceled abruptly after Mr. Alvarez, our lone competent teacher, decided he'd seen enough of our wondrous country and returned to Argentina. The Torah was perfect. Our education was not. None of this mattered much to our community. Never was there any pretense that this was anything but a yeshiva first and a school second, dedicated to the uncompromising development of students into the leaders of modern-day Torah, and then, with whatever time was left in the day, to a secular education. Most graduates spent years floating aimlessly around the country, studying in a base medresh here, a base medresh there, where their fathers had once studied, where a second cousin once removed was a notable donor, wherever, really, they were offered a bed. No one had college on his mind. It took me all this time to realize that this amounted to a beautiful life. My family wasn't too different, at least back then. My father was an accountant for a small local firm, which I suppose made us something of a minority in a community in which many fathers spent their days learning or teaching Torah. Still, my father fancied himself a learned man. His grandfather, he enjoyed reminding me, had been a fairly prominent rabbi in Williamsburg and descended from a line of middling Talmudic scholars, and spent his free time engrossed in study. His profession was infinitely boring, but he was satisfied with his lot and prone to pious overgeneralizations. "God-fearing specks in a vast universe do not require fancy careers." He was, in short, eminently suited for our community. Graying hair, worn smile, the simplest man I've ever known. My mother, thin, elegant in the way receding youth clings to certain women, was more unusual. Her parents, third-generation Chicagoans, maintained a semi-traditional household. Occasional Friday night gatherings, synagogue on the high holidays, no pork, some lobster. As a freshman at Barnard, she partook in a Hillel-sponsored trip to Israel and, nearly overnight, became infatuated with the spiritual fulfillment, moral discipline, and communal structure offered by Orthodox Judaism. She returned reborn, studying with a local rebbetzin, adopting increasingly complex mitzvot, and, by the end of her fall semester, transferring to Stern College. Soon after, a shidduch was arranged with my father. I was deeply curious about my mother's early life, but she said little on the subject. She insisted, in fact, that she hardly remembered her childhood in Chicago. I used to ask questions. What was it like eating non-kosher, having Saturdays free, attending public school? But instead of substantive answers, received instructions, mostly from my father, to keep private my mother's status as a Ba'alat Teshuvah, a newly religious Jew. Her real life, she claimed, began with my father. After marrying, she earned her master's at Teachers College, a rarity for the other mothers I knew. She taught fourth grade at Torah Temima, which meant she witnessed firsthand its academic horrors. "Arie," she announced, after it became apparent my fifth grade teacher took personal offense to the concept of required reading, "enrichment is in order."